quarter than our man Wild Bill. He was Cupid earlier this year. It's got to be distracting shooting free throws.
Welcome back to the Aggie Legends podcast. I'm happy on a high right now.
Yeah.
I'm in the studio with my dude, Kellen.
Sup, dude.
We just have some housekeeping to...
As usual.
We're going to start this one off with, again, just thanks everybody, mm-hmm. all the love and support. If you haven't, go like us on the Facebook, on the Instagram, and follow us on the Twitter.
On the tweets.
We do the tweets
Instagram,
a lot.
We're not very good at that stuff, as people have noticed this past week.
No, we're getting better, and we're gonna, we'll get better.
Just so people know, I was tweeting, the episodes were live, and not putting the link to the episode in the tweet or in Instagram, and somebody pointed that out to me, and I was like, mind blown. Like, how have I not been doing this? So, sorry.
Unfortunately, he's the techie one out of the two of us.
That says anything.
Just kidding. Very fortunate. Guys, actually, you're amazing. Thanks for all your help, Kellen. All you do. But speaking of techie, I don't know if this is considered techie, but the electronic mails. We get lots of the emails, and we love them. In fact, we just realized we haven't responded back to this guy that sent us this awesome email. Sorry.
We have talked about it multiple times.
Yes, and we love this email.
It's one of our all times.
There's actually a lot of emails. We're going to start reading emails and stuff that we get, some of the fun stories, and just kind of telling the stories that we get told, and they're hilarious. So I'm going to start with this one, and we won't say his name because we haven't emailed and asked him permission for that. So if you do send us an email... let us know if it's okay if we say who you are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can say my name on here.
Yeah, we'll give you a shout out.
Please do not say my name on here. Yeah.
If you're okay with the story being read but don't want to be incriminated, then we're fine to leave it anonymous as well.
Yeah, this one is great.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. I'm just going to go ahead and read this. He's like, gents, I've listened to each episode of your podcast, and I think you guys are doing awesome. I just wanted to read that. We didn't need to, but I wanted to. He said, I'm a second-generation USU grad, class 04 and 06, and have a feeling that I could probably have embraced some of Bill's shenanigans as a student had we ever crossed paths. Now here gets the good stuff. I'm just laughing already.
I know.
Seared in my brain is a memory of when one of my close friends became an ultimate Aggie. I parked in a nearby parking lot while he undressed and proceeded to mount the bull on 8th East and 1000 North. Of course, at that very moment, an officer pulled up to the intersection and turned on his lights. My friend, who was completely naked, with the exception of some socks on his feet, slid off the bull, making a screeching noise that only bare skin could make against the cold metal. Now, if you've ridden the bull, I think everybody knows exactly what you're talking about. And if you haven't, go do it. Okay, sorry. That was my little ad lib. He said he made his way to the car where me and some other friends were waiting. At the time, I drove a Honda Civic with a manual transmission. Somehow, in the hustle of it all, he ended up in the front of the car between the two bucket seats. Had I shifted to second gear, my hand would have been right on top of his junk. Needless to say, we escaped to another parking lot by the married student housing, driving the whole way in first gear.
I love it.
I'm gonna say this. if there's a cop behind me, I'm going to second. But I'm going to make it quick. Get right up into third.
I just love the imagery of that email is fantastic because simply put, I can hear all, 4,000 RPMs of that Honda Civic trying to get up 10th North. Anyway, that's fantastic.
And he has another part too.
Yeah, so this one's not as intense, but again, he continues, he or she continues. Oh, yeah,
you don't know. It might be a woman.
Keep up the good work on the podcast. Again, we didn't need to read that, but I thought I would. If you ever get Spencer Nelson on the podcast, ask him about the time that Rafael Araujo, the incident when the BYU came to the Spectrum. It was probably 03, 04, and the details had recently surfaced about his use of PEDs. Someone took it upon themselves to hand out pill bottles filled with beads or something to the incoming fans. I remember the story. When he was at the foul line, everyone shook the bottles. Then at the end of the game, with the victory in hand, we all started throwing the pill bottles onto the court at the BYU team. Unfortunately, the referees didn't think the game was over, so they put a couple ticks back on the clock. The court was a mess, and pill bottles continued to rain down from the Spectrum seats. Then Stu took the mic and yelled, "Quit throwing on the floor!" The place went silent. Good times. So, beautiful story. Well-written email, by the way.
Very well-written.
But we just had to share one of the many. We'll probably start emailing you back if you've already emailed us to ask for permission to use some of your stories. Because they're too fun. So this might be how we start kicking off a few of these episodes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would like to just get some of these guys on the podcast. But in the meantime, this is a good way to tell their story.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of good stories, our guest here,
who has been sitting patiently while we read this email.
This was my fault. Our guest has a number of fun stories. Hopefully he'll tell a couple and leave some out. A friend of mine through college.
Mine too, actually. Yeah. I knew him in college as well.
I knew him.
I don't know him anymore.
Yeah. Knew him in a lot of different aspects, but one reason we really wanted him on here, this is Jordan Rampersad. You guys probably don't know the name. There will be some of you that do.
Probably a lot, actually.
Oh, yeah. He's a pretty popular guy. Some of you guys will recognize his face, but not as many as would recognize the face it was on top of his face.
Exactly. The look on his face right now, I was like, what the heck is he talking about?
We're talking to my main man, Big Blue.
Are we allowed to call him that?
Can we?
Thanks for being on, dude.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. I've loved the podcast. You didn't have to pay me to say that.
Yeah, well, we haven't paid you yet.
Yeah. I'll just feed you.
I'm down.
You know I can cook.
I've listened to every episode, and I'm always like, they're smoking something, they're pickling something. I want in.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
We should just do a big old Aggie Legends cookout one of these days.
Yeah, we really should.
Maybe for an away game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that idea. I like that idea.
Maybe Jordan can pass out some flyers up in the Cache Valley.
Yeah, let's do that.
For sure. I think that Big Blue has a Twitter account and a Facebook and an Instagram.
You
so
think?
You can definitely help spread the word.
Okay.
There it is.
Love it. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Bill.
No, I was just going to make a bad joke. Go ahead, Kellen.
Well, with that, let's just jump into a little bit about your background. Obviously, we want to get into the part where you become Big Blue. But before we get there, tell us a little bit about where you're from, how you ended up going to Utah State and then Logan and so on. Let's start there.
And did you ever live in a cave?
Kind of.
I didn't know if I could bring that up or not, but I just wanted to because I think it's so cool.
Yeah.
I remember those days.
Jordan actually never lived in the cave.
Yeah.
It was this more of a storage unit. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. I grew up in Pocatello, Idaho. So not very far from Logan. And my whole life was there. Pocatello was everything. I grew up playing your basic sports in high school. Played football, ran track. I didn't play basketball in high school. I played up until high school and then I wasn't quite good enough at basketball, so I shifted off to playing just football. Did a lot of other sports on the side, snowboarding, skateboarding, BMX.
Did you get into boating in high school and stuff, or is that like more afterwards?
That was in college. I got into wakeboarding.
So. Avid wakeboarder.
Yes. Yeah. I like to think that I'm pretty good.
You are.
Yeah, I remember one of the trips that we took up for the Spirit Squad. We did some wakeboarding.
Yeah. Well, and there was always the when Bill was out fishing, I'd be wakeboarding and come by and I'd
be wakeboarding. Yeah.
I think a boat's wasted if you can't fish on it.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I love it. So Pocatello, how do you end up in Logan? Why didn't you just go to Idaho State?
I went to Idaho State for a semester,
mm-hmm.
And that was a terrible decision on my part.
Well, we all know that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, duh.
And then I went on an LDS mission, and there was a I went to Veracruz, Mexico.
Yeah.
And while I was there, some people tried to convince me that I should attend a different university.
The one down south.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
And my dream was actually, I wanted to play college football. That was what I was all about. I was coming back. I was going to play college football. I played with a bunch of guys that played. They went on to play at Utah State, a couple, like Jake Hutton was a guy that I played
with. Oh, you played with Jake?
Uh-huh. Oh, we played high school ball together.
Oh.
He's a monster.
He's quite large.
Yeah.
He's scary, or was.
Yes. Yeah. So that was my dream. So I applied to that university and a couple of others.
Gross.
Right? But I think that I might be on a do not admit list there because I am a walking, breathing honor code violation.
That's how I feel.
No, I like in all seriousness, my mom will never listen to this, so I think we'll be okay.
My mom will. No, I'm just kidding.
So my mom may or may not have been expelled from BYU for becoming pregnant with me.
Oh, so you, wow. You like are an actual, wow, yeah. Honor code violation.
Like, yep.
That's like hilarious.
Maybe in the dorms.
I did not know this.
Yeah, so BYU and I apologize. Can you bleep that later?
Yeah, I'll bleep it.
I apologize. Yeah, I think I'm on a do not ever admit list.
That's there, hilarious. So.
But that transition to the rejection and being accepted to Utah State, which would end up being probably the greatest decision of my life.
Yeah.
To come to Utah State.
So did you try walking on the football team at Utah State at all, or did you just kind of go a different direction at that point?
So I had torn my ACL my senior year.
Oh, okay.
Football, and I kind of wanted to get a certain amount of size back because I played outside linebacker.
I was going
to
ask you, what position did you play?
As I said, I played outside linebacker, mm-hmm. and that was pretty undersized for that. I was like, well, if I'm going to play, I need to be faster, a little bigger, maybe play some safety or something.
Yeah.
And so I kept trying to put on some size. But I was a poor college student, so it's kind of hard to put on size eating ramen noodles.
Yeah.
And so that kind of led me down some different paths. It was something I still kind of wanted to do, but I kind of had to make ends meet in the meantime. And so I started working and going to school, and then and you guys probably remember this, ended up working at NVO Dance Club.
I do remember you working there and the club.
Yeah.
What did you do there? Weren't you security?
I was security. I was probably the smallest bouncer you've ever seen.
I was going to say, did you finally put on that weight that you were looking for? Because you needed a little bit, even as a bouncer.
Yeah. I never put on the weight. But the head bouncer there, who will become important later, in the job interview, he said, "So are you afraid to fight people bigger than you?" And I said, "No, I'm." if it's go time, it's go time. I don't care how big you are. And they said, that's awesome. Cool, you're hired.
Easy enough. Easy enough.
Yeah, I had some wild times.
Yeah. That's probably a different podcast.
Yeah. But that's where I got introduced to Caleb Redden.
Yep.
A good friend of mine, Little Jordan. I became known as Big Jordan. He was Little Jordan.
Right. It's because he's ginormous.
Yes. Yeah. He's a gigantic Polynesian guy. And so it was always funny to watch people be like, wait, Big Jordan, Little Jordan, and just kind of be like,
what? Trying to reconcile this.
Yeah, not just Polynesian. He's Hawaiian. The best Polynesian.
Yes. Caleb Redden actually was the guy who kind of introduced me to the Spirit Squad. And he encouraged me while I was working there because I was always like break dancing and like clowning people and flirting with ladies.
Yeah, and Alan Bishop, I remember, was.
Yep. Alan was there too.
A former guest on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember thinking Jordan is a bouncer and he's just this scrawny little punk.
Yep.
But was tough. But
man, could he dance.
Hey, dance battling, bouncing, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess you were fearless is what I was. Yeah. What I remember.
Yeah.
I there was a couple good stories about some brawls that happened and me trying to take on two 250-pound plus guys at the same time, hold them back.
Wow.
And going over the counter and going to work and just giving up on two and just trying to hang on to one.
Yeah. So You started getting talked to about the Spirit Squad thing. Now, were they trying to recruit you, or were they just like was Caleb more just like, oh, you should like come hang out? Like, how does that conversation go? Because it's not always easy to tell a football player or a wannabe football player, hey, come cheer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I kind of laughed. I wanted to make fun of him. He's like, you should come cheer. Like, he's like, you're a good dancer. You can tumble. You're strong. He's like, I think you'd do well at this. And when I first found out that he was a cheerleader, I was like, yeah. But I was terrified to fight him. And so I was like, maybe I should pay attention to what he's doing.
Right.
Was he Big Blue at the time?
He was not. He'd just been a cheer guy and tried out for Big Blue that last year. But he was little known fact, this man was terrifying. Like, nobody. That's
not little known. He terrified the crap out of me.
Football players, everybody knew. He's the guy you don't tangle with.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the nicest guy in the world.
For sure. One of my favorite people. He is such a kind, nice guy. But I was like, maybe I should pay attention to what he's doing. So I spent the next year kind of watching what he was doing as Big Blue. I'm being like, you know what? Maybe I could do that. That would be right up the alley for my skill set.
Right.
I get to hide who I am, so I don't have to be like out in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. So I like not like those cheer guys that are throwing people in the air, but I'm going to be behind the mask. So I was like, yeah, maybe I should try out. So that bouncing led me to meeting Linda.
Linda Zimmerman. And,
she at the time was the head cheerleader.
Correct. Yeah. Head advisor.
Yeah, she was the coach and had been for 20 plus years at that point.
Crazy.
Yeah. And Caleb introduced me to her and said, hey, he wants to try out to be Big Blue. And they had no idea who I was or what I had in store. So, yeah.
So he just throws the cardboard down on the ground and starts breakdancing for him, right? Is that?
No. Oh. So the tryout process is pretty intense.
Yeah, I've heard.
So I come out of nowhere, and actually myself and one of my roommates tried out to be Big Blue. And my roommate was Mikey the Footlocker Gertz, which for many people don't know who that is. But a guy used to go on the corner of 1400 and Main and just dance through the crosswalks.
Okay. That's awesome.
But I decided to try to tumble in my tryout. I rappelled in, which Big Blue used to do.
Dude, I remember that was the coolest, is when Big Blue came from the middle of the spectrum there.
Oh, yes.
I also remember I went up a couple times with you when you would go down like during a girls game and I'd be up there with you. And it was the coolest, craziest, scariest thing.
I can never confirm nor deny if you officially went up there with me.
Yeah, me neither.
No, that didn't happen. Not with
you. No, it was such an unreal place to be.
Was it scary for you coming out of the roof like that? Tell me your thoughts of like, well, here I am about to drop out of the, because during tryouts, didn't somebody go all the way to the ground?
Andrew Jones.
Yes, that's right. It was Andrew.
he during his tryout, he tried out for Big Blue, and he didn't make it all the way to the ground, but he came down pretty quick and was upside down, and it was a little scary.
Yeah.
That may have actually happened during a game.
Oh, really?
Whoa.
With another Big Blue. And he didn't actually quite hit the ground. There's a slow-mo video of it, and he clips the horns.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Big Blue coming out of there always was so crazy that you never knew if it was on purpose or accident.
Yeah. It was such an unreal, like, experience, and it was such a high, and it wasn't scary, because for you've got a job to do, and there's many a story of you're running late and you're like clip clip jump.
That's crazy. So but, you did that during your tryout?
I did that during my tryout. Yeah.
So they have you put the suit on when you say you're going to try out for Big Blue to see what you can do, or how does that work? Yeah.
So as when you try out for Big Blue, they don't know who you are. So you try out as Big Blue.
Ah, okay. Right? Yeah. And then so they vote based off of what number you came in. Ah, yep. Interesting.
Yep. So I rappelled in. I was one of two that got to rappel in that year. Cause you had to kind of go in and work on it ahead of time. And the one mistake I had made is I had done everything except tumbling with the head and the climbing harness on.
Oh
yeah.
So I come zipping in. I start my tryout out, and my music starts. I start dancing, and I had a tumbling pass. And so I go to tumble, and I've done this a million times, round off back handspring, back tuck. Should be able to do it in my sleep. Climbing harness messed me up.
Oh.
And I came off funny, did something wrong, and came down funny on my right arm. And I heard a pop, and I was like, oh, no. And I got up, and I just kept going. I was like, all right. And they kind of come out. You present your skit. You're dancing or whatever. You go up the tunnel and take a break, because most people at that point, you have very little suit endurance.
Right, yeah.
So I come up.
Is it hot in there? How hot is it?
It's super hot. It's like you could lose between 3 and 10 pounds in sweat every single time you put that suit on.
How? So...
Maybe we'll
get into it. If you were going to get into it later, you can skip this question till later, but do you take breaks during games, go up and
freshen up?
Yeah, you really do. We'll try to sneak. Yeah.
Go to the powder room out
and let him catch his breath, maybe get a drink of water.
Yeah.
Sometimes you learn to, like, one of my favorite tricks was jam a water bottle in through the mouth. Drink water that way, so people like really like, oh, that's cool, like, yeah. It's funny to watch, but it's also saving my life.
That's awesome.
So, sorry to divert, let's get back to this tryout.
No, you're okay. So go up the tunnel. I tell the assistant coach at the time, it's like, hey, I think I broke my arm, and she's like, no, you're fine.
Was that Jen?
Yeah, it was Jen at the time. And she's like, well, what do you want to do? I was like, I'll just go down and I'll finish, so I'll go back down. So I had a couple of things left I had to do. There was some, like, you know, imitating some dancing and, you know, some skits, some situational stuff they throw at you to kind of see how you handle those. all this time I'm trying to hide the fact that my arm is just killing me. But I had one last thing I had practiced that I wanted to demo, and
what was it?
It's called a diamond head. So where Big Blue will jump up or a cheer guy on another guy's shoulders
and then hold the two girls into the air. Yeah.
And so
with a broken arm.
I might have done my very, very first successful one with a broken arm.
Wow.
Good night, dude. Everybody thinks I'm crazy.
So what happens after that? Do you find out what, okay. Yeah. What happens next?
So in my situation, I go up the tunnel. We start pulling the suit off, and my arm is like not compound. So it's like not out of the skin, but you can see the bones just like separated.
Oh my God.
Where, what part of your arm?
It's my forearm. So I've got a nice big scar. You guys can see it. Obviously,
yeah. Listeners, yeah, that's a good scar. But
yeah. So just that bone's completely like out of place. Done.
Oh. Gone forever. I remember you in a sling for a long time.
I do too.
So I go to the hospital, and the rest of the tryouts happens without me. So, which is fine. So I go to the hospital, and I'm like, well, I think I'm done for because I'm broken. I'm out. And the tryouts come out. I make it back just in time for them to announce who Big Blue's going to be. So I'm in a sling. I'm like, this is going to be awful.
Yeah.
So I'm like, cool. I'm ready to congratulate my roommate or somebody else. And then they called my number.
Not like, knowing that you were the one with the broken arm?
Yeah. And I meet all the judges after that. And then they see that I broke my arm. And then I had surgery the next week to put a plate in, so that I could be Big Blue. And I think that I impressed the coach. I think I impressed Linda and Jenny with, well, he will fight through pain. So
yeah. That's insane, dude.
So did you have to sit out for the first few games as Big Blue, or?
So the tryouts are in April, and then I didn't really have to do anything until like July.
Oh yeah.
So I was out on my cast, and I was doing physical therapy, and then I was coming back and high-fiving and stuff. So
that's good. I didn't realize they were that early. I forget.
Yeah.
Cool. So talk to us a little bit about, as Big Blue, do you remember your first game as Big Blue? I mean, I imagine it was a football game, or was there, I mean, there was probably some events they had you attend prior, but
yeah, my first event as Big Blue was a soccer camp, actually.
Oh, okay.
In Nibley.
Oh, okay.
And it was like 105 degrees outside.
Of course.
I stepped outside and I thought I was going to die. I was like, what have I done? Like, this is insane. And then the Mascot Bowl, which is always a good time, which is actually going to happen this next Monday, where mascots play tackle football with eighth graders.
Please tell me you rocked some eighth graders.
Knowing you, Jordan, you probably rocked some kid or a few.
There may be video out there of me running over some kids.
Not even a little bit surprised by this. That's amazing. Where was that at?
That's typically been down at Lehigh, but it's going to be out at Harriman this year. So.
Okay.
Dude, I love it.
That's awesome.
But
so you did get to play some football after all, yeah, on a scholarship.
I did. Yep. Against eighth graders, but it counts.
It does.
They have pads and I don't.
Well, kinda. That suit's pretty bad. Yeah.
Not as bad as you think when you're tackling something.
Yeah, I guess.
That's a good point.
But my first game was actually an away game at Utah.
Oh yeah.
And Robert Turbin broke one for like 80 or something in that game.
Yes. And
there was a chest bump that occurred on the sideline then.
With you?
Yeah, and that was me. Oh. And we didn't get a good picture of that one. And he said, hey, next time I break one, I want you down there. We're going to do it again.
Yeah.
And to this day, he's still mad at me. He's a little salty because that big banner that used to hang up on the side of the stadium, and it's now in the lob. of big blue chest bumping Robert Turbin.
Yeah.
It's me. And he's mad because I outjumped him.
That's so awesome. That is awesome.
Claim to fame.
Yeah.
He's like, I got more hops than you. I was like, you probably do. But in that picture, you don't.
Is he counting the head or is he measuring from the feet? Like,
I mean, my chest and head is a good
inches
higher than him.
All right. That's awesome, though. So how long were you Big Blue?
I was Big Blue for 4 years, from 2009 to 2013.
And then I know you have some memorable moments, but one I want to kind of jump ahead to is your last game as Big Blue. Did you get your little ceremony where you take the head off and all of that?
I did.
I know the answer to these because I was there. Yeah, I just want to ask as a fan.
I was there. I remember that.
I remember that very well.
Your grandparents escorted you out.
Yep, they did. Yep, that was... I think the second time they ever saw me put on the suit, and they were there and I got to take my head off and they were wearing some Believe hoodies that legendary logo. There's a funny story behind that.
We'll get into that too. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. So that's a very memorable moment. Cause that's the first time that you're like publicly acknowledged as who you are.
Yeah.
And not as Big Blue.
Real quick, it gets into you. You have to practice Big Blue's signature, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Like you get the signature and you practice it and you do the Big Blue signature.
Yes. Now everybody will kind of vary the signature slightly. So there's a couple different ones, and so you can look at and see what era Big Blue it is by how the signature's done. Everybody kind of puts their own little spin on it.
That's cool.
So, and we can definitely tell if it was actually signed by Big Blue or somebody in athletics signing as Big Blue. Most of the time we try to sign all those. So if you want something signed,
it's the actual Big Blue
squad. No, well, Big Blue will sign it.
That's cool. I didn't realize that. And part of the reason, like it's kind of a cool moment for us as fans as well, is when we get to finally see who Big Blue is. And especially in your case, you were Big Blue for 4 years, which isn't always the case, right? Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's two. Pretty frequently it's 2 to 3. But to have a 4-year Big Blue, we were, and they make that announcement like saying that you've been Big Blue for 4 years and all of this. Like, it's kind of awesome for us as fans to be like, to finally get to acknowledge this person that we've all watched walk around these stadiums and do these flips and kind of embody, you know, our university in a suit, you know, like just dressed as a bull. And it's pretty awesome from that perspective. So I imagine for you, it's kind of cool too. Now when you see these since you Big Blues come out and do the same thing, you're probably a little nostalgic, but is there a certain amount of like pride or honor that you kind of take knowing like I was Big Blue. I was the face of this university for the events to some degree. Right.
Yeah. I think Big Blue is a bit like Wild Bill in that.
No, you get way cooler.
Yeah. Well,
same size head.
I do have a ginormous head.
It's such an honor to represent and be Big Blue. It took me a few years, but I really grew to understand that he is so much more than me. Like, it's such an honor to be Big Blue, but he's so much more than just me. So it is nice to get that moment of recognition. I don't do well with public recognition on things that I've done. It's funny that I love to like capture these huge moments. And then I kind of like to hide away, which Big Blue is so perfect that you'd be high-fiving and like loving people. And then you take that head out and walk out and the same person you just high five and is like your best friend
has no idea. Yeah,
dude, I honestly kind of hit sometimes wished I would have already always done that with Wild Bill. They like had a hidden face, so I, you know, people didn't know me, and I bet that was kind of fun. I mean, I liked, but again, I wouldn't trade my relationships I made because of that for anything. Yeah.
For sure.
But sometimes I wished I would have had a helmet on.
Yeah.
I really like love Big Blue and what he is and what he does for the community, for the university, for outreach. He's had his issues. He's not perfect. Oh. Well, it's hard to rehab those, but
yeah.
You know, Big Blue has walked me to my hotel room a couple times in Reno. And
yep.
That's so funny.
He was a great guy to me.
Yeah. What were some of your top moments as Big Blue?
Oh,
I mean, obviously the Robert Turbin chest bump has got to be up there, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, those moments are amazing. My first moment out, I ran out on the field at Utah, and to have 50,000 people boo you, it's an adrenaline rush. You're like, I'm in your house, and I'm here to stay.
And I'm dressed like this.
Yes.
Yep.
I love it.
And I was really blessed to be a part of currently what we could consider the golden era of Aggie basketball, in my opinion.
True. Like,
what's that?
We were just amazing teams. And so it was really easy to like get the crowd engaged and you know, just have a good time and just participate in the chaos.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that was kind of during Wild Bill era as well.
Yeah, he was smack dabbing during all of it.
Yeah, and I think that between that and obviously the refraction from Matt writing, you know, the refraction and things like that, we as fans wanted so bad for the Spectrum to be special, and Big Blue was an easy, you know, person to cheer for. When that game gets going, you rappel down out of the scoreboard and everyone's just like, it's just pure chaos, and it was so much fun. But I mean, imagine you rappelling down. I can't imagine that view coming down and stopping halfway and pumping the crowd up. And that's crazy.
One of my favorite rappelling moments was being there for the very first I Believe.
Oh, yeah.
So we hadn't gotten the refraction, so we didn't know quite what was going on. But I watched that very first one happen from above. And it was magical. It was special. I just hear, "Ah!" And it's so loud up in there because all that sound just travels right up into that Jumbotron at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "What is going on?" And then to watch the whole crowd in unison just start jumping. I don't even know what team we were playing, but they must have thought the world was going to end because that was insane.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Dude, I was just looking for it and I couldn't find it, but I have a picture of you up in Spokane. I don't know if you remember me taking it. You were bent over. You had everything on, but your head was off and it was sitting next to you while you were rummaging through their bag. And so I took a picture and it was cool. I really want to find it so I can post it. It's really cool, like, because it's the back. You can't see your face, and you have that little hood thing, whatever you guys wore. And so you couldn't even see gender, race, anything of who this is. Obviously, we think it's a guy. Being who we are, we just figure it's a guy, right? I guess it could. Does it have to be a guy, or could it be a woman?
It doesn't have to be a guy. It could be a woman. She would just have to be able to be Big Blue. We've had women try out in the past.
They just have to be able to do everything, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, because they're looking for certain characteristics that are Big Blue, and if as long as you can personify those in the suit, then you're golden, kind of a thing, right?
Okay. Yep.
So anyway, it's so cool. Just and then Big Blue's head sitting right, and it's like this mythical creature that you come to realize is just a man, and it's
you
just
saw
like
its soul.
Yeah, it was. It's a really cool picture.
That's cool.
I hope to find it.
That same trip, we also played a prank on Matt when he came into the hotel room and I was in the bed and the head was just there.
On who?
on Matt Pfaff.
Yes, yeah. Pfaff.
And like he walks in and Big Blue's just like in bed and it's just the head.
Yes.
That's awesome. And he didn't tell us that story. I'm surprised. Probably a dream come true for him.
He was a little confused.
Yeah, I imagine. In a lot of ways.
Man, we had a lot of fun on those trips. Because there's, you know, I got to travel a lot of times with you guys. And what was the first bowl game at Boise?
Yep.
Where I got the elephant Speedo for the Christmas thing. Immediately put that on and got a bunch of pictures with the Spirit Squad.
Yep. You did. Yep.
But man, I think one of my favorites was just any time. One of my favorite memories of Big Blue is because I knew him for quite a few years. I knew Caleb and stuff, and I've known the ones since. I currently don't know who they are now, but
it's Big Blue.
Yeah. Well, which actually brings me to what I'm going to say is I really kind of like the mystery of who it is, like. Because it gives you, I mean, don't get me wrong, I loved knowing you and having that relationship. I had fun with that. You know, because you'd come up and say something like, oh, Big Blue's not supposed to say anything.
I remember that happening a few times. I'd like lean into the suit as close as I could and I'd be like, shut up, Jordan. And you'd be like, I'm not saying anything.
But I really like the mystery of it, of like, I don't know who this is. And yeah. And it's almost like Santa or a magician's tricks. I don't want to know. I like the, like, let's leave it to not being a college kid. Let's leave this to being Big Blue and leave the mystery to who he is, as he's not a person. This is Big Blue.
Yeah. And I think that Linda did a great job through those years of finding people that did that well, right? Because it creates that nostalgia for us, as even as we leave the university and come back as alum and as fans, it's like, you still get that vibe. Like you said, it's like this nostalgia of Santa Claus where you're kind of like, oh, that's Big Blue. I used to know who Big Blue was. So like for us, that's kind of cool because we connect in that way. But at the same time, it's like, you know, that person, you know, especially now hearing your story a little bit, you know, kind of what they go through to become Big Blue and what that responsibility is. And it's kind of weird, but it has like a mantle to it, right? Like there's a responsibility that it's very secretive. It's important that people don't associate it with a face because of, I think that reason alone.
Because if you go get drunk, you know, over the weekend and
throw open the headgear,
you know, people are going to be like, who's this guy? That's Big Blue.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about the secrecy behind it. Cause I think that every college, every mascot, there's a, you know, definitely they hide the identity to the best of their abilities.
Well, not all of them. That. Cause I mean, even no, but New I mean, Mexico, like New Mexico that, State, you see him.
I know. I mean, like one straight up headgear.
Yeah. Like what's the deal there?
I think it's definitely that idea that Big Blue will always be a part of Utah State University from till this university ceases to exist and probably beyond. Big Blue will always be there, and he will always be there for the fans, and he will always be like exemplifying what this university stands
for. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I would riot if they tried to take Big Blue. Would not everybody riot? I think they would.
Yeah.
There's been issues, and Linda can speak to those far better than I can, but in the past when they've made modifications to Big Blue's appearance, fans have booed and not been happy when they've made changes. So the current iteration has been the longest, but
well, there's been some creepy Big Blues because in the underbelly of the spectrum, they've got all the closets and everything, and I'd go in there all the time. And
we did find a few when I was in student.
And there were some crazy looking heads that like look like scary porcelain dolls on the walls of your grandma's house that like you do not look at and you go in and out.
Yeah.
And the second Big Blue head is definitely that way. The third one, the one head we don't have, and I think we would love to get a hold of it or find out who has it, is the original Big Blue head.
It's probably Jim Lobb, let's be honest.
Yeah, definitely. Probably on his desk at CVE.
Who knows? If Linda doesn't know where it is.
Yeah, then maybe. Yeah, yeah, that's true. She probably has a good story about where it's at, though.
Yeah.
Legend has it.
Let's start some rumors right now. Let's start a cool legend about the original Big Blue head. Actually, I can tell you exactly what happened to it. Just kidding.
He's
just
gonna probably make it. Got it.
Yeah. So let me go back a little bit to the secrecy part. Do they make you, like, what do they tell you when they're like, hey, you're Big Blue, but nobody can know? Like,
do you sign anything?
Yeah.
No, you don't really sign anything. Linda just gives you the what for and tells you, like, this is what this is. This is why it's this way. And you'll do it.
And you don't want to disappoint Linda.
Yeah,
you don't.
And not that she's scary, but no, I wouldn't want to make her mad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it only takes one or two. And Big Blue is, it's, there's so many amazing stories that make Big Blue like this huge crowd pleaser. But honestly, the most memories that stick out to me the most are these one-on-one fan interactions. And once you kind of understand, I don't know, kind of sacredness of those moments for those people.
Yeah.
You understand that Big Blue is so much more than you.
Yeah. Being good at tumbling.
I'll share one of my all time favorite, and like, I'll be tough.
You got this, pal.
You got it.
Yeah. You've got all these amazing like stories and moments, but one of my first year, I was to deliver some gifts, and Big Blue does that during basketball games sometimes. Yep. Like, we'll deliver things. But a young boy had asked that Big Blue just come, high five him, hug him, take a picture, and deliver a little package to him. But this little boy had terminal cancer.
Oh, so dang, like, it, dude. Don't make me cry.
Yeah. So his last thing that he wanted is he just wanted Big Blue to come and have a moment with him and his family. And you get there and...
Was this at the house?
This was in the Spectrum.
Oh, this was at the game. Okay.
Yeah. So he's there. He's healthy enough to be there. You know, you deliver the package. You give him his high five. You give him a hug. You take that picture. And you just see that excitement. And to understand that might be the last time that ever happens for him. That's that memory for that family, for that little boy, that moment of happiness in an unfair time.
Damn it, dude, wow. I hate this story.
Yeah.
It's so happy.
It is.
It's those moments that really kind of make Big Blue that he'll always be there. That's the Aggie spirit. And that wasn't that wasn't me. That was Big Blue providing the service that he's there for.
But you got to experience it because of Big Blue.
Right.
That is awesome.
And I think that's a perspective that I didn't even expect to hear when we're talking to you today, is that those are moments are really cool. You see them on ESPN, you see them in social media where, you know, a mascot or players even will interact with a fan. But when in your case, like, you're a mascot, you don't think about the person playing the character, and they get to participate in something so special because they're acting like the character. So they're patting them on the back, give them this cute little hug. But inside, you're trying, you have emotional turmoil because you're dealing with this in a very real sense through a character, like a facade. And that's something I never really thought about. Like, that would weigh on me some. Like, that's that mantle, I guess, we were kind of talking about earlier, that people, I don't think, realize that we idolize that character in a lot of ways, and especially little kids. And that would be very difficult. And that's something that I think that you could take a lot of pride in, knowing that you handled those situations and got to be part of those situations for those people. That's incredible. It really is.
And Big Blue's all over the place. You get those special one-on-one fan moments. You get to clown a fan. You get to clown another team's mascot.
Pull off his mustache. Too bad that wasn't you.
That wasn't me. That wasn't
me. Do you remember that, Cohen?
I do.
The New Mexico State.
Yep, I do.
I paid the price for that, though, because that was the next year is when I started.
Caleb was a freshman when I did that.
Yeah, when, to be precise, there's two Calebs.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It wasn't Caleb Rabbit.
It was the younger one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Because he went on his mission after. Yeah, I remember. Yes.
He was my brother's roommate.
Yeah.
Yep. That's awesome.
Oh, yes.
What were go ahead.
Wait, like, I was told, like, I get to go to my first WAC tournament, and I get, like, pulled aside by the game management people there, and they're like, hey,
don't
cross half court, you don't interact, you don't do this, you don't do that. I'm like, all right. But being a good mascot is knowing how to walk up to the line, find it, but don't cross it.
Well, I would say cross it a little, but cover your tracks.
That's Bill's way of doing everything. I love it.
I never crossed any lines as Big Blue.
Good job.
Out of the suit, I almost got ejected from a volleyball game once. But suit, I never.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Linda, dude.
That was the first time Linda gave me the what for.
Yeah.
And I think the only time.
Yeah, don't be an idiot.
I was at the game with little Jordan.
Oh.
And
yeah.
You felt like you could talk because you got a big guy to protect you at a volleyball game.
I was just trying to be funny and I was trying to distract, and I didn't say anything offensive. I just was trying to find creative words that might have an impact. And
dude, they're women. Like, come on.
The assistant AD came over and said, "What did you just say?" And I told her, and she laughed. It was really funny. I just said this. I didn't tell anybody directly. I didn't direct it at anybody. I just said a word. It wasn't a cuss word. And so she sent like 25 little kids to sit by me. But they said, "One more and you're out."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was, all those kids were saying the same word.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Was Vinny there dressed as a banana? Do you remember that? Do you remember Vinny?
He'd yeah.
Steve Henning, he'd always show up in a banana volleyball games.
That's awesome. One quick story I want to tell. So I played football through high school as well. And one of the biggest hits that I've ever had laid on me happened in college. and I was rafting the Snake River.
Sorry. Yeah.
I was rafting the Snake River with the student government. So all of the, you know, student, back then it was the ASUSU, student government, me, the cheer squad, everybody, we have a guide, we go and we raft the river for a day and camp out. And there's, you know, a few, slow sections where we would, you know, have water fights or whatever. Well, we didn't really, like, there's a lot of girls, and we were all, like, it was cold water, like, it always is, but, like, I don't know if it was, I don't remember why, but it felt really cold that day. So we all just decided to kind of get the rafts all kind of close together, but not, like, no water fighting. Well, I have my back to Jordan, and all I hear is the sound of feet prancing across the top at full speed of all three rafts. He runs from his, across mine, hits me right in the right square in the chest, because I turned around right as I could hear him coming. Luckily, I had my life jacket on. It absorbed most of the blow. And into the water, we both fly. And everyone's laughing. And the water's so cold, I also can't breathe because he hit me so hard. But yeah, that was one of my more memorable moments with Big Blue. Was out of the suit, getting nearly killed, it felt like, because he thought it'd be funny to tackle me into the river. Which, well, it was. It was. I got to give you that. I just had to share that moment. That was one of my more memorable Jordan Ramperstad moments. He knew right away when I was saying it, too. He was like, "Oh, yes, I remember this hit." That was one of his favorite hits, too.
I was athletic once.
He wanted to prove it, yeah.
Speaking about being athletic once, I still think you are.
Yeah, you're in great shape, I feel like.
You still work with the Spirit Squad, correct?
I do, yep. I'm an assistant coach under Nicole, who's the head coach.
Who was also on the Spirit Squad.
Yes.
But before your time.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's something we're actually working with Linda to get Linda and Nicole on for an episode. They've agreed to it. Now it's just about trying to find time, which is difficult once school starts.
Schedules.
The shedge. And then, yeah, so tell us, what's that like to be coaching? Like, what does that consist of?
I mean, it's still fun seeing you on the sidelines.
Yeah, I think more people probably recognize me as the guy with the camera that runs out in the middle of the field now than, what do you do?
Yeah.
So, so it's a lot of early mornings. Mm-hmm. I go to practice, help out. I do help with the dancers. And, you know, there's varying degrees of what they think I might help, you know. I can clean things. I can see when things are off. I'm not a super technical dancer. B-boying was more something that I was comfortable with, but I've learned over the years quite a lot.
B-boy, for anybody that doesn't know, is a style of dance, kind of like your break dancing, pop and lock kind of stuff, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, just for any listeners over
it's very popular in Pocatello, Idaho, I believe.
Didn't it originate there?
In one of the streets, for sure.
Yeah.
With me. I'm the only guy.
Yeah, Jordan was the one. Yeah, to anyone from Pocatello, they probably know him as the B-boy. dancer from Pocatello. The only one. He made it big, though, folks.
Yeah.
He was Big Blue. Speaking of making it big, a lot of Big Blues make it big.
Yeah.
Right? There's been a lot that have gone pro.
And you went pro.
Yes. I did. Well,
why the hesitation?
Yeah, you did.
Semi-pro, yeah. Pro, yeah.
Well, didn't you do stuff?
Paid. Where'd you do it? What'd you do?
Yeah, you went you got paid to be a professional mascot, and you did it, what, hockey games?
Yep, I worked for the Utah Grizzlies for 2 seasons. I worked for them and did Grisby and, you know, had to figure out a different signature and how to bring some life to that character that was different than some of the other guys that had done it before. And that was a lot of fun. And I think has made me a better coach, is understanding like a different character. I did some freelance stuff here and there.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Who didn't you do like some arena football stuff or,
I was going to, and then that team left.
Oh, that's so right.
Oh,
that's
okay.
End up doing anything with
you
them.
You didn't go travel with the team.
What does your wife think of all of this? Is she into that kind of stuff? What's the deal there?
She thinks it's kind of weird. She understands.
Is she into that kind of stuff? I love that question.
Yeah, I mean, maybe did she dance?
She danced, and she's from a very like athletic family.
Okay, cool.
So her little sister actually played soccer at Utah State.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
Her little brother played baseball at USU Eastern and is playing at William Penn.
Oh, nice.
Just got back from playing up in Canada, and we're fingers crossed that maybe he gets drafted.
Cool.
Oh, cool.
He's a left-handed pitcher.
Oh, nice.
Oh, maybe he can fight the entire Pirates in their dugout.
Mutual friend, sort of friend of mine and Bill's.
I just met him.
Just did that, yeah.
Amir Garrett.
Yeah, pitches for the Reds. Took him on this past season. Anyway.
It was awesome.
Left-handed pitcher, and it was incredible. Anyway, yeah, hopefully he can aspire to that.
So she understands sports, and then she went to school at Weber State and went through their dance program. So she's very supportive. She understands. She appreciates what I can do. She definitely tells me that I can't dance.
So. Too embarrassed.
She's like, I'm a better dancer than you. And I say, yes, you are.
What about the baby? You going to get your baby dancing?
Yes, we're hoping. She's already started stunting. Oh. Got her on the Jumbotron once.
Oh, nice. Simba cam.
Yeah. She's 5 months. So we're hopeful.
Good. Good. That's awesome. Following your footsteps. It's a big deal.
Dude, it's, it is a big deal. That's cool. I think I love this whole story of Big Blue and everything and everything that embodies it. You know, it'd be fun to get some other Big Blues on here, like Caleb Casey or the other Caleb, or, you know.
Casey and I were roommates, and he is a interesting, awesome guy. He's got
very interesting.
You might want to like record his episode and work with it a little bit, but he's a great guy.
He's like a teacher or something now, isn't he? Or like a therapist?
I think he's social work at the jail.
Oh,
down at the jail. That's what he's doing.
Okay, yeah. I thought he was working with kids for some reason.
He was in Wyoming doing that.
Yeah.
And now he just got a job down in Salt Lake.
Oh, good.
I bumped
for him.
Into his mom the other day. So.
Oh, good, cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love Big Blue. I think this is, it's just a, such a integral part of game day experience.
Yes.
And like when we finally have a kid, you better believe I'm having a crying baby picture with Big Blue.
Absolutely. Just like everyone made you get crying baby pictures with Wild Bill.
Those babies love me. Are you kidding?
I love it.
I'll bring my daughter and we'll see.
Yeah. Has she met Big Blue?
She has. She met Big Blue for the first time the other day.
What did she think? And
she's a champ. She's just like, yeah, whatever. I got this.
Yeah.
Smile. Oh.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's cool, man. Because most babies, would you say most babies cry?
Yeah. 95% will just have a meltdown.
That's awesome.
Which is one of the situational things we try to do for.
Oh, do you? You practice that?
Yeah. Like, what do you do? Because a lot of people have like serious anxiety about clowns and mascots and things. So not just not just like babies,
yeah,
but those people, you don't want to give anybody a panic attack. So, yeah. I mean, there's a gauging, like, can I win this person over? So
or
there's
this, yeah. Like,
How close can I get? Will they interact with me? Can I get a smile? Can I make them like me?
My friend has like a legitimate fear of them. She was actually on Steve Harvey's show, her and her husband, both Aggies. You both know them. But yeah, she went on there because they were like trying to break her of it a little bit. They sent her to Disney World to like meet characters. She has a really hard time with it. And I didn't know that till I saw the episode and was like, really? What the heck? So I didn't realize that adults deal with that too. So
I wonder if she's the one that like, if you can make it funny, sometimes it's hilarious to chase them around and watch them.
She wouldn't think it's funny.
I might have thought it was funny.
You might.
Hey, one thing I want to ask about, because I feel like lots of Big Blues do this. They'll be walking on the railing or like the handrail, and then they'll slip, air quotes, and junk themselves. Like,
yes.
How do you not hurt yourself like that? Like, let me explain this better for the crowds or for everybody listening that might not understand exactly. They're walking on the handrail going up, you know, the spectrum, and then they'll go either side, either, you know, the leg on either side of the thing, and then look like they rack themselves in the goods.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
How do you not really rack yourself?
Practice.
So, that's not something I would practice.
I was just going to say.
I've got some videos of me just being a weirdo in the spectrum, just trying to figure out what I can and can't do. And, that's one. And so you'll practice walking, and if you can do it right, you can catch with your hands. So if you watch closely, catch with your hands. But if you're really good and really brave, you can control your fall just right, and you'll actually catch your inner thigh. And so you make it look, you sell it, catch it on your thigh, squeeze, roll off.
What did you do?
About 15 to 25% of the time,
you just get them.
You just got yourself, and it's
so it's not an act. It's not an act.
Oh man,
that seems worthless to practice.
But it's entertaining.
Yeah, we all laugh. We all laugh.
There used to be like somebody used to do something pretty inappropriate when I used to crowd surf.
Oh,
the student section.
Yeah. Did you know who it was?
Never figured out who it was.
This guy, no. Bill, no,
but I'd be crowd surfing, and without fail, it was always maybe 10 rows up, because you know where you're at as you're going.
Yeah.
And that is a fun time, is crowd surfing up until they drop you on your head up in the top or drop you on a baby.
Oh man. Oh.
Jeez. Yeah.
But this person would, every time I went over the top, would try take their finger and
what would they do with it?
We get it.
Yeah.
Check the oil, as they say.
Yep. And that happened a few times too many.
Yeah.
And that you can't do much about it. And so one time you just squeeze. And then there's that awkward moment.
You caught him. You caught the finger? Oh, you're the man.
Never happened again after that, though.
Oh, my gosh. That's ridiculous.
Maybe we should edit that story out.
No way.
Are you kidding me? No.
We're keeping it.
This is why people would listen this far in. If they listen to the whole thing, they get that little treat right there.
Hopefully somebody emails you and apologizes.
It's a warning to all finger jabbers out there.
Don't mess with the mascot. It's already hot enough in there. You don't want your finger there if it's that hot in that suit.
I don't want my finger there anyway.
Man, that's funny.
Jordan, man, this has been a great educational time. Do you have anything you want to say to Aggie Nation? Anything you want to, any concluders, anything that maybe you wanted to say that didn't get brought up?
I want to say, I've heard you guys say it on other podcasts, and the Spirit Squad was my way of getting involved. And it changed my entire experience. I went from playing WoW in my room and hating life.
Wow. Oh,
World of Warcraft. Yeah.
Come on, Bill.
And not being super pumped on where I was going to this life-changing event that got me involved at the university and has kept me around giving back. That's part of the reason I coach. Yeah. Come get involved. And, you know, we have tons and tons of people come try out, and not everybody can be on the Spirit Squad. And we see lots and lots of talented people come. You know, there are clubs, there are dance groups, there's so many ways to get involved that will change your experience, that will help you get out of your shell, that will help you understand your college experience. And that's Big Blue to the community, is bringing those people in and helping them connect.
I'll say this. I felt like I was a member of the Spirit Squad, you know, because I traveled with you guys and, did, you know, we got to do a lot together. So if they would let me on, they'll let anybody on.
We open arms to many people. One of our current cheer guys, he used to write for the Statesman, actually.
Oh, and is that the one we met?
Yeah, Kalen.
Yeah, kind of a nerdy looking fellow, but like... But like, I was like, oh, this guy's involved. That's so cool.
It is.
And he listens to our podcast. What's up, buddy?
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
I didn't say you were nerdy looking.
But he tried out 3 times, and we finally made it. And
good for him.
That's awesome.
He teaches some Spanish classes up on campus, so I'm sure some students have some weird moments where they go,
wait, what? My teacher's done
Spanish?
What? Está bailando?
Dude, that's awesome. I love that. It's a wide range of everybody.
But again, you're talking about those like kind of like defining and like kind of life-changing moments. Like that's that's one for him, right? And getting involved in the university at any capacity can help with that. And I know I don't love always bringing it up, but it also helped me pay for some school, you know. And if you get involved in the right levels and in the right time frames, like, it can actually help financially as well as with the experience. And that's something I'm really grateful for, from my perspective.
Yeah, we work hard. We give half tuition to everybody on our squad. Big Blue does get a full ride.
Yeah.
So, but every dancer, freshman, everybody gets a half tuition scholarship.
That's cool.
So I mean, we work hard for that, and we're always trying to find new ways to get more funds, because the squad works hard. Like anytime they say we're sending somebody to a school, to this event, to this outreach,
they want Spirit Squad,
and we go and we want.
Real quickly, what he's referring to is, and this is something I think Aggie Nation know about, but we do the regional campus visits and we do regional events to different high schools when you're in the student government. And part of student government technically is the Spirit Squad as far as how budgets are allocated. It's not an athletics budget. Is that correct as far as those scholarships go? Yeah. Yep. So that's what he's talking about when they get asked to go to these different things to help support the university. We're asking cheerleaders to come be part of recruitment efforts at regional campuses, at high schools. Sometimes it's internationally. I don't know if they send any cheerleaders to Mexico, but I know that they've done some recruiting effort that way. But that's what he's referring to. Those funds need to stretch for a lot of people to help bring more people to Utah State.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, Jordan, thank you so much for taking your time.
Man. Thanks so much, dude.
And spreading the joy of Big Blue with us today.
That's awesome. Great stories.
Well, I'm really honored to be here. I listen to every episode. I love what you guys are doing. I think that I kind of emailed you guys this. I think that this goes way beyond just Utah State. This goes to like showing what Aggie Nation is all about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it brings back memories and makes me feel some type of way.
Fair enough. We're there with you.
Brother, thank you very much. Can you leave us with our tagline?
Sure. Every Aggie's a legend. What's your story?
Thanks,
perfect,
buddy.
Man. Hey, thanks for your time, buddy.
No problem.